Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I had just one of the most interesting Bible studies and conversations this morning with a group of men. One of the guys, Kirk Bounds, has been a dear friend, and he asked some questions. He has a friend that's in a very bad health condition, and, you know, death is just around the corner, and Kirk wants to go see him, and he was asking, what am I supposed to say? How do I bring up the topic of where are you? You know, what do you know about death, and where are you going, and that sort of thing. How do I broach that topic? And boy, we just had one of the best conversations about the basic gospel. What do you say? What's it all about? And it gets down to Jesus. Richard, you were teaching us today in Colossians in our noontime Bible study, and it, you know, Paul wrote this: we proclaim him. I mean, when we think about all that's going on in this world, and when we think about a loved one that's on the verge of death, I mean, what do we talk about? What are we to deliver as children of God? And it clearly is the message of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, because all hope hinges on that story and on that story alone. And just so many things have been coming into play over the last week or so, just to bring the importance of the gospel message into even clearer light. We all know that the gospel is the most important message, but something happens, I think, within our hearts in these situations where the resolve intensifies to get that message out. That's what people need. That's what people are longing for. And I know, Andrew, as you preach on Sundays and you have your radio broadcast on Sundays and conferences, that's of utmost importance in your outreach as well.
Yeah, you know, people are willing and want to, they're eager to talk about this when they confront something that puts them in a hospital bed, that puts them in a place of risk or danger. You know, we worry a lot about how is it going to come up, or, you know, how can I phrase things, or do I need to go in with something rehearsed? And I think that really one of the big things we learn from the Christian life is just to be available, just be present and be available. And I think if we're present and we're available with a willing heart and an understanding of God's grace, we're going to find that people want that hope. They don't want a big question mark. They don't want to plunge into darkness and not know what's on the other side, what they'll be waking up to. And so this message of Jesus is so very relevant and so very powerful. And I think that if we just wake up every day and say to the God of the universe, I'm available to you today for whatever you would want to do through me, when we're sitting there with that friend who's hurting, who's sick, who may be maybe even dying, I think we're going to find that the Holy Spirit will give us the words of encouragement and the words of salvation for that person in the moment.
Yes, indeed. And so as we're going through this month, we're saying things that we're thankful for. And I think as believers in Christ, one of the things that we can thank the Lord for each and every day are the opportunities that we have to open our mouths and share the wonderful news about Christ. And those opportunities are all around us. We don't necessarily have to go seeking ministry opportunities. If we just open our eyes, they just are right there in front of us. Yes. And so I'm encouraging our listeners today to, you know, at the end of this day, to thank the Lord for the opportunities that he puts in front of you to be used by him to share the wonders of his son Jesus, his death, his burial, in his resurrection.
And that's what we share with you every day from Basic Gospel, and we'd love for you to share back. Again, that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, my name is Bob Davis, and again, we thank you for joining us. Again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. Plenty of time for you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Anthony, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello, Mr. Christopher. God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, just recently, it just seems we're working atmospheres, the world we live in, everyone's under, and this is like 90%, and less, everyone's under distress and stressed out, anxious, all around us. And I know in Christ, we're not supposed to be a part of that, but sometimes when we try to help those people, that when we're going through our own stuff, it's hard sometimes to help those people, because if we feel like sometimes it comes on to us, or it even brings more burden to us. So I'm asking, my question is, how do we, I know we're supposed to be a light, but if we're no good for ourselves or for others to try to help someone else, how can we effectively help someone when things affect us, and then we go, I don't know if I'm not explaining it properly, it affects us negatively, so then we have to recover, in a sense. Do you understand what I'm saying, bro? I'm trying to explain it properly.
Yeah, well, Anthony, this is Andrew Farley. One thought I have here is that, sometimes we can't help people who don't want to be helped at the time. In other words, if we reach out to help others and all that happens is they just sort of heap their stress on us, and then we get stressed, and then they're stressed and we're stressed. Now we're all stressed together. That's a pretty good sign that, maybe I'm not necessarily following the Lord's leading in trying to rescue people all the time. Sometimes, as I was saying earlier, I think our biggest job in the Christian life is just to be ready and willing and available. But when we try to fix other people and it just seems to stress us out, I would stop and I would question, and I would say, Lord, do I have some codependency going on here? Do I have a need to only feel good when other people feel good? Can I only feel at peace when other people around me feel at peace? Well, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for my life. So I'm going to look to you, the Prince of Peace, the guy who has the market cornered on peace. I'm going to look to you to be my peace. And so, I don't want to wake up and be in the business of just trying to fix people, because really Jesus is the only fix, and they have to want help. That's number one. And then number two, for myself personally, I just have to remember, Christ is in me for a reason. Christ is very local. He's not a long-distance phone call. He lives inside of me for a reason. And so I think that as I refocus on the fact that the indwelling Christ lives inside of me, then I can allow all these stressful circumstances around me. I can say, you know what, God? These circumstances are now your problem. I am unloading these circumstances on you, and that's why you live in me, in order to deal with these. So I give up my right to have a certain outcome here, and I am going to let you bear the stress of this for me, in me, and through me. And I would say that's one of the number one reasons that Christ does live in us. He could have given us a ticket to heaven, but he did more than that. He gave us himself, his life inside of us. So you can't fix people who don't want to be fixed, and you just have to be available. And then I think you say to Christ living in you, hey, my circumstances are your problem. I'm going to unload these on you.
You know what? I wish you had that on paper so I could meditate on that. That was awesome.
Well, Anthony, appreciate your call today, and we can follow up certainly by email if you want to connect, and thanks for being a part of the broadcast here at Basic Gospel.
Yeah, and of course the archive of this particular broadcast will be available a little bit later in the afternoon, so you can access it again
that way as well at basicgospel.net. Just click the radio link and the drop-down menu.
What we're going to do, Anthony, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get some information, and we can get send you some of this information via email. Okay, you hang on, my friend. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Anthony. Plenty of open lines, friends. Want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And, guys, you know, I think in probably many areas of the country, if not all areas of the country, we live kind of in a pressure cooker these days, and a lot of stress is being experienced by people. And so we want to encourage you, friends, if you're experiencing some of that anxiety and being anxious about things going on in the world, and maybe something at the office, at school, at home, wherever it happens to be, give us a call. We'd like to talk it over with you and talk it through. So the number again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Kelly, a longtime friend who lives in the Tampa area. Says, I have a question for you regarding God's new promise with Israel found in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. How does this promise apply to the Gentiles, since this does not mention them in it? Is it because we Gentiles are the grafted branch and the vine of Christ, thus God imparts this promise to the Gentiles? If so, would you say that the new covenant contract is now between God and the whosoever wills?
It's an interesting question. And, yes. You know, are Gentiles included in the new covenant? And there are certain people that take a theological stand that no, Gentiles aren't included. That is simply a covenant for Israel at a future point in time. But does Scripture bear that out? Can we say that with any sense of biblical confidence? Or are we new covenant believers today as Gentiles? Are we included in this? And we know what our stand is. We are new covenant believers.
Yes.
The new covenant applies to us. Richard and Andrew, give us some scriptures to bear that out, to show that we as Gentiles do belong in this new covenant.
Yeah, well, Paul told the Corinthians, I mean, he said we are ministers of a new covenant. So when Paul writes these Corinthian people, we need to remember that they're Greeks. That's who they are. They're not Jews. They're not of the Jewish lineage or heritage. They were pagan in every sense. And Paul writes the Corinthian church, and he says, we are ministers of a new covenant, and he says, not of the law. And so it's very clear that, you know, yes, this covenant was new for the Jews, but actually it's the one and only covenant for the Gentiles. So what was new for the Jew is really the one exclusive invitation that we have as Gentiles. So it's very important to see that, guys, because otherwise, you know, we're just all over the place in a ball of confusion. Oh, well, did the Jews have one agreement and the Gentiles have another agreement? You know, are we all not under the same message? Well, remember that Christ brought Jew and Gentile together. And that's also what Paul teaches, that there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We are all one in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think of, you know, what Jesus said in John, that there are sheep from another place that are going to be brought in. I think of what Hosea talked about, that God was going to call. And then if you go all the way back to God's promise to Abraham,
yes,
that the promise was that Abraham, through his seed, the world, all nations would be blessed through him. So
correct.
It wasn't just a Jewish promise. It was a promise to bless all people. And that's what we've seen in Christ, that all people are blessed in him. We all receive the gift of God's Spirit. We are all made children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're all added to this body of Christ. And we all form this one new man called the church. And in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ.
Yeah.
So we do belong in this new covenant. It is for us. We are new covenant believers. And I think we all need to make that declaration. We've lived most of our lives trying to mix the old and the new. We've tried to blend. We've tried to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We've struggled. We've been confused. It's time to stop the confusion. And we do that by making the declaration that we are new covenant. The promises of this new covenant apply to us. They're our promises. We're the beneficiaries of this great will that came into place at the death of Jesus.
Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. We are here for you. Open lines, 844-322-2742. A toll-free call, again, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, friends, that for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive a copy of our study guide, The New Covenant Journey. It, of course, is the study guide that we're going through each Friday on our teaching editions. And if you don't yet have your copy, this is a great time to get yours and help Basic Gospel keep the message on the air with the truth of God's love and grace at the same time. All you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone our operator at 844-412-2742. Now, that's a little bit different from the call-in number. This number is 844-412-2742. But again, also donate at basicgospel.net. Help the ministry and get your copy of the study guide, The New Covenant Journey.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Well, hello there.
Hello. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Well, first I want to say it's good to hear that the program is still on the air. And I'd like to get to congratulate you.
Well, thank you so much.
Amen. Now, moving on, regarding the Ten Commandments, where the Bible tells us, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and et cetera, how can we apply that to someone who is not a believer?
Well, Martin, you know, first of all, I think we have to be clear with the audience, you know, how do we apply this to a believer? And it's very important to understand that for the believer, that we rely on Jesus Christ and his spirit within us. Knowing Christ is the source and knowing Christ is the goal. And so the Ten Commandments are not the source for good behavior for the Christian. And also the Ten Commandments are not the goal. My goal is not to keep the Sabbath day, for example. Instead, my goal is to get to know Jesus Christ and bear the fruit of his spirit. So while the Ten Commandments serve as sort of a mirror, you could say, the Ten Commandments are designed to show us the dirt on our face. As unbelievers, yeah, well, you know, we see our sin. We see our spiritual death. We see that I've got a hole inside of me the size of Kansas. No offense to Kansas, but I've got this hole inside of me, and I need it filled with something. And that something is Jesus Christ. And so the Ten Commandments show me, look how many times I've stolen in my life. Look how many times I've bent the truth or lied. Look how many times I have looked at a woman with lust, and so therefore I've committed adultery in my heart. Look at how many times I have sinned against the God of the universe, and therefore I need a fix. I need a solution. I need an answer to this. So the Ten Commandments point out my problem as an unbeliever, but the Ten Commandments don't really offer me the solution. Jesus Christ is the solution. So if I were you in practical terms, I wouldn't run around talking to unbelievers about how much they've sinned or try to show them the Ten Commandments and say, look, ha, 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 see, you have sinned. I think really the Ten Commandments are there initially for the Jew to show them their sin issue, and then the conscience is there for the Gentile. And the Bible says the requirements of the law are on our conscience. Our conscience knows that we have a problem. We might deny that, but our conscience knows. And so I think we just, again, you know, it seems like today the theme is availability. We just have to be available to the unbeliever, be available to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about the solution, and to tell them in gentleness and love with respect. And so I think our job, again, comes back to God of the universe, you live in me. There's unbelievers all around me. And so I just want to be light. I'm going to let you be light in and through me. And when the conversations come up, I'm trusting your spirit to have the words for me as I communicate with the friends around me. Does that help?
Amen. Yep.
All right, Martin. Well, thanks for your call today.
Thank you muchly, Martin. We certainly appreciate the call. Well, let's keep moving. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Franklin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Franklin.
Hi.
Welcome.
My question is about baptism. And I want to say that, you know, I was born and raised Catholic, and I was baptized at the age of 2. But being a Catholic, really never did anything for me until I, as I grew up, I found out about the gospel on my own. And don't really consider myself a Catholic. Actually, I just consider myself simply a Christian. But my question is it necessary for to be baptized to actually be saved? And also, what do you need to say about baptizing children? Is it, does it make a difference, or is it more important that we get baptized as we are adults?
Well, Franklin, excellent question.
Yes.
I'll just tell you a little bit about my personal experience. I was baptized as an infant. Don't remember that day at all. The pastor gave me a letter that I was supposed to read when I was 12, and somewhere around moving here to there, lost that. So never got any full explanation as to what that meant. And then I had a life transformation in college. And for me, I wanted to make a public testimony that I truly identified with Christ. So I asked to be baptized again at a church here in Dallas and made that public confession, so to speak. But baptism, you know, that didn't save me. That was just a recognition of what God had already done in my life through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I just wanted to make a public testimony concerning that truth, that I was identified in full with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that I had been baptized or into Christ's death, buried with him, and I had been raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what baptism symbols, water baptism. But in no way does that save. It's not part of the gospel. As Andrew says so often, it's a great celebration. We get to celebrate our new birth into Christ by making a public declaration through water baptism. So if that's something that is on your heart that you want to do, you should do that.
Yeah.
But not in any way that, hey, this is what saves me, this is what washes away my sins, because we know that's the blood of Jesus. We know that's the saving life of Christ that saves, and it's by grace through faith in Jesus. This will just be a wonderful testimony that you can make to the body of Christ that you belong to Jesus and that you now belong to them.
Okay, so it doesn't make any sense to get baptized as a child because you're not well-lit or so to speak.
Right. Yeah, there's no status that changes for you. Water won't change your spiritual status. It's only the resurrection life of Christ living in you that makes you right before God and changes your status. So who wants to be born but never have a birthday party? Who wants to get married, so to speak, but never have an anniversary? We're children of God. We're the bride of Christ. There's every reason in the world to celebrate, but baptism never saved anyone. It's the resurrection that saves us.
Well, Franklin, hope that helps, and we sure appreciate your call. Thanks for being a part of today's Basic Gospel Edition.
Absolutely. Richard, as we close the broadcast today, I'm going to ask you to share with the listeners your thoughts on the importance of reaching year-end with matching our budget,
our
budget.
Well, I think you've heard in the questions just today, let alone this whole week and in previous months, that what we're talking about is real-life stuff.
Yeah.
This isn't us. This is Jesus. And we just have the privilege of sharing Jesus with people in all kinds of contexts. And so the fact is it costs money to do this, and we so appreciate all of those people who partner with us to make this possible, because you are really reaching people through us. This is your good news so to speak, your ability to do that. So help us reach our goals for the end of the year so that we can start 2016 on a strong note.
If you can join us, friends, all you need to do is go to basicgospel.net and click donate on any page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, for Bob Richard and Andrew and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.